Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon and welcome to radio show number 420, Employee Engagement at Pivot CX. Today we're going to be talking about the pivot that Pivot CX had to make as COVID hit and how it's turned out so far. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm an engagement consultant working within the Engage for Success core team. The Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there is a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, inspiring people and workplaces to thrive. And we're widely supported across the UK involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, engagesuccess.org, you can use the link at the bottom of the page to join our newsletter list, and all our social media links are there too. So my guest today is Mike Seidel, who's CTO and co-founder of Pivot CX. Welcome, Mike. Great to have you with us. Oh, and now I can't hear you. Let me just click a few buttons.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there you go.
Hi, yeah. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Lovely. And after you were saying Blog Talk Radio works so well, but you're here now, so that's good. Lovely. So let's start by you telling us a bit about who you are and who Pivot CX are.
Yeah, so I'm Mike Seidel. I started Pivot CX about 6 years ago with two co-founders, and we had quite the adventure over the last few years. Originally, we started off as a job board kind of thing that was like a Yelp for Jobs mobile app. And Joe, to be honest with you, that was a great idea when we started, but as time went on, as the labor market got tighter and tighter, our idea for that app didn't work really well in the marketplace. And by the time COVID hit, we were in a really bad spot. We were not able to really grow enough to be successful, but we weren't doing so badly that we needed to shut the whole thing down. And then when COVID hit, we lost almost 85% of our business in March of 2020.
Wow. It's interesting the sort of the losing of that business. One of my friends runs a job board in the county that I live in, and you know, he found a similar sort of thing happen. And I guess, was it really companies sort of hunkering down, saving money and not recruiting because they just didn't know what was going to happen? Because, you know, businesses continued and people, you know, worked from home, but the job boards really did suffer, didn't they?
They did. At first, we thought that it might just be everybody hunkering down, but we got some very direct feedback from the people that were leaving us and from the customers that stayed with us that, you know, our product just wasn't very good. It wasn't working as well as we thought it would for their customers, and they weren't getting their money's worth for it. So we knew we had to make a change. I think other job boards had a different situation where there was a pause and then things came back stronger than ever for a lot of them.
Right. So you knew you needed to make a change, and you said you lost 85% of your business. Who were the other 15%, and what did you do, and how did that happen?
Well, what had happened was we got into doing doing a chat via text messages with candidates who had just applied for a job, and we were doing that because we had some customers that were in really competitive industries, and they thought that maybe if we engage with candidates right after they apply for a job, that it would be a better experience for the candidate and they'd be more likely to be able to hire people faster. And so we had these, you know, it was about seven companies that were our customers that we were doing chat for. And all of them told us, whatever you do, don't go out of business. We need you more now than ever because we don't have the manpower to deal with the surge of people we're going to have to hire when things come back from COVID. Mm-hmm. And what we all didn't know was in March, the hiring would start back in May and June. So we ended up, you know, really making the decision in March that, hey, these customers that stayed with us, we want to build a product and build service that supports them. and maybe we can drop the old app, the old Yelp for Jobs thing that didn't work very well. We can get rid of it. And so we did. So we pivoted and we rebuilt our business on the proposition that every applicant, every candidate gets to talk to a live human every time within minutes of when they apply for a job. And that's worked really well for us.
Interesting. So what did that look like in terms of what you had to do? Because as you said, your app was doing something different. You needed to make some changes there. Just talk us through that sort of first bit of COVID where you realized there was an issue and you needed to make those changes.
Well, the first realization was, after you get about five calls in a row from customers who are canceling, you realize something is really, really wrong. And you really have to look at everything and goes, what is this something that we did wrong or what's going on here? What we figured out was that the product we had wasn't delivering enough value. It wasn't worth keeping going into the pandemic, but there was this kernel of an idea that was worth keeping. And so we had to look at our team and go, do we have the right, if we're going to pivot our whole business and we're going to have to create a new product that does something very different than the old product does, do we have the right team to do that? And we were really fortunate in that when COVID hit, we had some turnover that hit about the same time. Our chief technical officer and one of the co-founders left us. And so we didn't have somebody to run engineering and run the product team. And we also had some turnover with just our sales team and that the non-engineering side of the house that made some budget available to hire more software developers. So we had to really change the makeup of our team in early 2020 so we could build a new product. And then we got to work on it. And we spent most of the year in 2020 creating a chat app that was designed to hook up directly to job boards and to applicant tracking systems and anywhere really that we could get job applicants into the system as fast as we could. We wanted to integrate with those and then make it so instead of a chatbot talking to these candidates, that we could put them in touch with a live human as fast as possible. And so we spent most of 2020 building the software and we released it in January of 2021. So we kind of snuck it out there and we were really lucky in that we landed a couple of just really, really big accounts right away. In early 2021, we kind of knew by the end of January that we were on the right path. And by the end of the year, we had grown the business 183%, not over 2020, but over 2019. So we did had an amazing year in 2021. And a lot of it was fueled by helping companies learn how to engage candidates right when they applied for a job, have a conversation with them right away, and give those candidates a really great start to hopefully what turns into a highly engaged, employment with that employer. So, the great resignation and all the things that have happened since COVID really have been very good to us. And as of right now, we're 2 months into the year and we've already beat 2021. So we're already ahead on sales. So that, as a business owner, I'm really happy about that. But what's more exciting about this is that, we're working with our clients and finally, the service we're delivering is really high value. We're helping them change how they're starting their relationships with the people that are going to become employees. And as we're doing that, they're learning that they can actually find really good talent, even though the labor market is the tightest it's ever been. And, so part of that is quality. Part of it's giving every candidate a great experience. And then part of it is just speed. What's it say to somebody if they apply for a job and you're talking to them within minutes of when they apply versus making them wait the 3 or 4 weeks that most companies make people wait to hear back?
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And as you say, it's so important in the current climate to sort of jump on those sort of things quickly. Why is it important to engage with the applicants sort of at that stage in terms of how that follows through into the engagement once they're working with the organization?
Well, I think the most important thing is that when somebody applies for a job, it's an opportunity for your organization to create a great first impression and to build a foundation of trust in that relationship. You know, for a lot of people, their first interaction with a company is they go apply for a job on a job board and then they hear nothing for 3 or 4 weeks. Just by responding right away and saying, "Joe, thanks for applying. I'm Mike, one of the recruiters at Pivot CX. We'd love to talk to you." Just by saying that, we're already creating a totally different kind of relationship with that potential employee. And if we continue to be transparent and we continue to communicate through the hiring process, it really does kind of create the standard that that employees get to communicate with not just their manager, but the whole company has this value where we go, "Hey, we really think you're important and we want you to be a part of our team." So it makes a very big difference in just kind of how you start things off. And really, you know, if you go back to basic relationships, you never get a second chance to make that first impression. And we think that that first impression needs to be a very good one.
So let's talk a bit about Pivot CX and how sort of employee engagement is within the organization. And you went through, as you say, a massive change. And I guess people were potentially concerned about what their future looked like at that stage. And now it's really sort of successful and you've, you know, really turned that corner. How do you engage with your people?
Oh, wow. You know, Joe, come to think of it, we had to deal with quite the change. You know, in 2020, we were dealing with how do we just keep people coming to work? And because here, at least in the United States, the government was handing out money hand over fist to people. And a lot of people, especially if they were not making six figures a year, a lot of them just went home for a few months and lived off the money the government was handing out. So we had to keep everybody on board and excited about coming to work every day in 2020. And then as we got busy, it turned into something completely different. You know, we really, you know, if you look at engagement and why it's just so, it became so important to us is that, you know, we're trying to grow a company quickly. And so we have to do a few things a little differently than most companies do. First of all, we give every employee an opportunity to participate in our success. We deal everybody in, if you will, by giving everybody a really generous amount of stock options so that if we're successful and grow up and our company is acquired or we go public or we sell the company, everyone in the company will make a multiple of their salary in a day. So we get it. Yeah. Everybody's attention focused on, you know, hey, this you have a stake in this. And that makes our employees much more willing to learn what makes our business succeed and what makes it fail. And, you know, everybody's brain is really put to work, really helping the company go where it needs to go. We try to really have a culture of transparency and learning. So that means we do things out in the open and we let people know what's going on, what's going right, and what's going wrong. When there's a problem, we don't live with it. We talk about it and figure out how to solve it.
Is that something, just to interrupt you there, is that something that has come about because of what happened, or was that something that was in place before?
I think we were a lot more arrogant company before COVID. One thing that I learned and my co-founder, Howard, who's our CEO, learned was that we need to listen carefully. And there's really two groups of people that as leaders you have to listen to in a business. One is your customers. You know, it's a cliche to listen to your customers and the customer's always right, but those two cliches aren't wrong. And then the other group is our employees, because they are the people that are turning these relationships with customers into, you know, you could look at it from a transactional standpoint. You know, they're turning these relationships into sales and into money. Or you could look at it from a relationship standpoint. These are the people that are responsible for making our customers happy. And if we're not listening to these employees and what they're reporting back to us, how do we know what to do that's the right thing for the customer? So one of the things that's been just awesome about the last 2 years for me has been that we've been doing chat. We've been operating our own software for our customers. So my employees are also our power users. So when we want to float an idea past someone about if we change our software in this way or that way, I have a whole team of people that are using the software every day in my own building, and we can learn from that. So I think it really makes a big difference when you do put a lot of stock in what your employees have to say. And it really helps a lot to make sure that those employees really are dealt in and feel like they have a stake in the outcome in the company, and that their actions and that the words they say to people make a difference.
Yeah, interesting. And as you say, interesting to see that changed given sort of everything you went through as an organization. So one of the things that you talked about when we were talking about putting the show together is talking about being in growth mode and that you're challenging your employees to give their job away every few weeks. And I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Okay, so we've reached a point where our company is growing so fast that, you know, every 2 weeks, every 4 weeks, we may have to add an entire new delivery team on to our staff. And we have to be always teaching our direct reports how to do the leader's job. So when our next big account rolls in, we're actually able to hire a few new people, split up a team into two teams, and keep growing. And it seems really easy to say that, but it's really hard for people to get used to. I might be a team lead this week, and 6 weeks from now, there may be six teams that I'm the leader of, and I've only been with the company for 3 months. So we're moving so fast that you literally have to think about your job as something that I'm going to build this in a way that I can give it away. That means you have to focus on processes, and you have to kind of do things in an iterative way where we, you know, don't throw everything out and reinvent the wheel every time. We take what the last guy did and tweak it a little bit. But it's a really, really different when you go through this kind of growth. It's a different kind of instability. You know, we all like things to be stable, and in the mode that our company's in right now, the only thing that is certain to happen is that we're going to go land some more business and get bigger. And so you have to somewhat be used to giving away that job that you have for a new position every couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. Yes. And it sort of prompts another one. So we talk about the four enablers within Engage Success, which are the things that you need in an organization where engagement is strong, or rather you have them in an organization where engagement is strong. And one of them is about strategic narrative, and that's about getting really clear about where the organization's been, where it is, and where it's going in the future, and making sure that everyone can see their connection to that narrative. Quite difficult to do when your business has changed so significantly, but also is growing quickly and I guess changing constantly as well. And you talked about what we would call employee voice, involving your people and listening to them. And I always think there's a bit of a, you know, what comes first, you know, strategic narrative or listening to your employees, because the two things, you know, drive each other, sort of thing.
There's definitely a cycle there.
Yeah. So how are you keeping your employees connected to that narrative, which has changed quite a lot and is presumably constantly changing with the growth that you're going through? And, you know, how do you not run away without sort of keeping them on board with you, or how do you take them with you so that, you've got, as you say, that feedback that you can use in the here and now to further develop the organization?
Well, it starts really with when we hire someone. When we bring somebody on board, the first thing we do is actually have them spend about a week working on our chat team so they learn exactly what we're really doing for our customers. Mm-hmm. And then we move them off to the software development team or sales or wherever it is that they're going to fit in the end. But we want to make sure everybody understands what we're doing for our customers so that as they're working on building our business, they are connected to the kind of core value that we're driving for our customers. That's been a very big piece of it. And then the other thing we do is stay in very close communication about what's going on. I think everybody in the company knows, if I asked even somebody who's just chatting with candidates about what big deals are coming up, they'll have a good understanding of what the sales team is doing, what new marketing initiatives are going out. They'll know what features the development team is working on right now because we spend a lot of time communicating amongst each other. And some of that we do online through tools like Slack, and some of it we make sure that we have enough open meeting time and discussion time just so everybody can kind of be aware of what's going on inside the company. And that's especially important, you know, back to giving away your job every few weeks. When we go to somebody and say, hey, we're adding another team on, we'd like you to, you know, kind of be the leader for these three teams. And who on your team do you think is ready to take over for what you were doing? And who do you think would be good to lead the new team we're going to stand up? They really have to understand what we're really doing here. So, it's really hard. A lot of communicating, a lot of email, a lot of Slack, and a lot of talking. But it pays off because people understand what it is that we as a company are doing as a mission. And really can help us do that. And by the way, one of the things that really helps a lot is I think everybody on our team has had an awful experience being hired somewhere or not being hired somewhere. You know, I think everybody's looked for a job and they've applied for a job somewhere and not heard back from the employer, or they've applied and 6 weeks later they get an email that says we're not considering you for reasons and that kind of thing. And I think everybody on our team understands what we're trying to be the alternative to, and that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. And you talked a bit about getting people involved with customers right at the beginning and so on to help them sort of develop quickly within the organization. What else are you doing in terms of equipping people to lead those teams? Because, I suppose, you know, are you bringing people in knowing that they're big enough for the next job already, or are you really growing them once they're with you very quickly? And if so, how?
that's a good question. We try to hire people that are good learners. That's actually one of the biggest things we look for, is someone's ability to learn and then apply knowledge to what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So most of the people we hire have the potential to be a leader, but not everybody who has potential, ends up becoming one. So we do a little of that, and then we do have a pretty good program for helping people learn leadership skills. A lot of people will come to us and they've been a doer before. To be a good chat agent, you might be very fast on the keyboard, have pretty good English language or Spanish language skills or whatever the language we're chatting in, and understand the recruiting process, but we still have to teach an awful lot. So we do invest quite a bit of time in training and helping people kind of master what they're doing. But it does help us a lot that we're not trying to do everything, that we limit what we do to just this one part of the employment process. So we don't have to worry about, you know, how to interview someone, and we don't have to worry about a lot of things that take years and years for recruiters to learn how to do. So it's part of it is we limit the domain of what we do, and then we definitely overinvest in training.
Mm-hmm. And just to go back to when this sort of all happened at the beginning of COVID and you did the pivot, how did you take people with you in that moment? Because you weren't in a growth position. You presumably were asking more of people and different things of people than you had been. That can't have been easier.
It was very difficult. In fact, we had two things. One is that we had a failing business and revenue was hitting a cliff. It wasn't just going down. It was going down at almost a 90-degree angle. So we not only had to ask people to stay on board with us, but we had to, at least for a couple of months, have people accept a pay cut But a lot of them were willing to do that because they saw the same potential that I saw in what we were doing with chat and with engaging candidates right when they apply. I think everybody saw that as something that had huge potential to grow. And I think a lot of them also were looking at this in a time of uncertainty. They were pretty happy with the fact that we were committed to keeping them employed. In the U.S., a lot of your benefits like healthcare come from your employer. And we were able to keep that available for all the employees going into this healthcare crisis. So a lot of people were really happy that we did what we could to keep everyone employed. And then within a few months, we were able to get the income and the company stabilized. And everyone started just kind of latching on to where we were going in the business and working on their part of it. And it was a lot of fun to be here as we grew out of the COVID era.
Yes, yeah.
It wasn't fun being here when it hit, though.
Say again?
It wasn't fun being here when it hit.
No, exactly. But, you know, how many months have we sat here saying, you know, when COVID's gone? Or we had a show recently where they were talking about post-COVID productivity. And, you know, we clearly weren't really in post-COVID at the time. But it does feel like we might be soon, or at least the worst of it. But there we go.
Really feels like the pandemic's the pandemic is still here, but I think people seem to be getting tired of living their life like it's here.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. So we've just got two or three more minutes. Just for other organizations sort of listening who've got some challenges, who might need to make some big changes in their organization, what would you say your sort of, you know, top tips would be, your main things that they need to focus on?
Well, if you need to make big changes, the first thing you need to focus on is people. And you need to make sure that you've got really great people that can help you get through that process. As a business owner, I only have so many hours in a day, and I'm really limited in what I can do. And I have to have really, really great people that can help me and have the right mindset to get through a difficult time. So, you know, the first thing to do whenever you hit adversity is to really look at the team and then go to the team members that you're going to be counting on and make sure that they're on board and that they want to be a part of helping you get through it. If you don't do that, you set yourself up for real problems.
Yes, absolutely. And then from a sort of process point of view, what is it? Lots of conversations, research, planning, how does that sort of stack up?
Well, it depends on how fast the change has to happen. In our case, you know, we started losing customers, and a month later we were down 85%. So we had to go very quickly, and that's almost a throw away the playbook moment, and let's make a new one. But a lot of times your ability to plan really is dictated to you by the situation you find yourself in, and being honest with yourself and honest with your team about your situation is really critical. If you don't tell people how bad something is, you're not being fair to them and letting them make decisions in their own life. You need to be fair and tell people what they're up against so that they can decide whether they're going to be able to help you or not. And then if they can help, do everything you can to enable them to help you.
Yeah. No, sounds absolutely. And that goes back to, as you said, that sort of transparency thing. And I think sort of a question, I think it's probably an unfair question to ask, but the whole COVID thing clearly could have been the worst thing that happened to you. Would you be saying now that in many ways it's been the best thing?
I am unapologetic about saying this. COVID taught me a great lesson about business, and it has been wonderful to go through what we've went through. You know, we still had all the inconvenient things and scary stuff that went along with COVID. You know, we had employees get COVID. We've had all kinds of that, but living through this has made us really appreciate the success that we've had and really appreciate our customers in a way that we just didn't before.
No. Lovely. Thank you, Mike, so much for joining me today. It's been really interesting. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Lovely. And just to let listeners know, next week Jo Moffat will be back, and she's talking with Jill Kane, and they're talking about how remote and hybrid work has changed the employee experience.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.